Blog Talk Radio.
This is Mighty Men of Valor with your host, Reverend Cleveland Howell III, a Living Saved Ministries production. We invite you to listen as Reverend Cleveland Howell III teaches young men using sound biblical doctrine and personal life experience how to live a better life in this world. And now, without any further delay, here is your host, Reverend Cleveland Howell III.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. We want to welcome each and every one of you to the Mighty Men of Valor show. I'm excited this evening, and I'm sure you are also. This month of February, amen, we're celebrating 5 years of the Mighty Men of Valor show, and it's such a blessing. God has been so good to us as we reflect back 5 years. Amen. Back to 2010, when the Lord allowed us to have this opportunity to come on the air to share his word. We had no idea of what to do, how to do, how it would be. And as we look back 5 years later, we're still learning and seeking God on how to do and what to do. And we're just so grateful tonight. Amen. As we look out throughout the world and from city to city, God has been so merciful to each and every one of us. Amen. He has protected us from seen and unseen danger. He has allowed us to see his faithfulness. And we just want to continue to tell the Lord thank you. Amen. As we continue to move forth in this fifth year, amen, of the Mighty Man of Valor show. So, as we always do, we're going to begin the show with prayer tonight. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you so much, oh God, for this time of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your loving kindness. Lord, we thank you just for being God. Lord, you've been better to us than we've been to ourselves, and we say thank you. Lord, we thank you for our health, and we thank you for our strength, oh God. We thank you for everything, Lord, that you're doing in each and every one of our lives. Lord, we love you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor because you are worthy. And beside you, oh God, there is no other. So we ask right now that you would just have your divine way. Whatever it may be, oh God, our hearts, and our soul says, yes, Lord. We say yes to your will, yes to your way. Now, Father, we pray for this wicked world, oh God. We pray, Lord, that you would touch the hearts and minds, Lord, of the backsliders, Lord, those who have gone astray, Lord, those who don't know you as their personal Savior. Lord, we ask that you would have mercy upon their hearts tonight. Remember every pastor. Remember every church. Remember every leader, oh God. We just ask, Lord, that your will and your way be done. Father, remember the families tonight, oh God. Lord, you created them, oh God. And we pray, Lord, that you would set them in order. Now, Lord, you said that no matter what we are going through, no matter what we are facing, you said that your grace is sufficient for us. And we say thank you tonight. Now, Lord, we ask that you would have your way tonight. We ask for a special anointing. We ask, Lord, that you would touch a heart, that you would touch a mind, Lord, that someone would say, what must I do to be saved? Lord, we're nothing without you, Lord. We can't do anything without you, Lord. You said it in your word, oh God, and it's so true. But we say thank you, knowing that we serve a God, Lord, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. So have your way tonight, O God. We pray for the speaker tonight, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would use her for your glory. God, we pray, Lord, as the Baptist, as that John the Baptist said, may I decrease while he increase. So, Father, have your way tonight. Just speak, Lord. Touch hearts, touch minds, oh God. You know what's best. As we celebrate, Lord, this month, oh God, because it's because of your goodness and your mercy, Lord, that we've had this opportunity. So we don't take it for granted. We just ask, Lord, that the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts, oh God, be acceptable in thy sight, oh Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Oh, Father, we give you glory. We give you honor. Pray. Amen. Well, praise the Lord again, everybody. Amen. As we look into this, first week of February, the third day, amen. God has truly been good to us. Well, without further ado, I'm going to introduce the speaker for this evening. Amen. Mighty Man of Valor, show off. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to welcome my aunt, amen, the Reverend Candy Johnson, to the Mighty Man of Valor Show. We welcome you. We thank you for having the time to show us this evening. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Happy to have you with us this evening. We know that schedule has been full, but we thank the Lord that you've had time to share some of it with us. So we welcome you to the Mighty Man of Valor Show to celebrate with us on this 5th year anniversary. Amen. And we just thank the Lord for you. Amen. So we're going to turn the show over to you this evening.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm so happy to be able to share with you tonight as you celebrate the 5th year of this ministry. It is a blessing to know that God is faithful. And I want to say I'm thankful that you have been faithful. There are many people who start out, they have great ideas and great dreams, and they start out with a big bang and they soon fizzle out. But for you to have been faithful to this ministry for these 5 years, I commend you, and I know that God is smiling because of that, because he is looking for faithful servants. You know, amen. He is looking for people who will hold on till the change comes to the end, hold on till their mission has been completed. So I want to congratulate you for your faithfulness. This is not only a time of celebration for your 5th anniversary, but February is called the Love Month as well. We celebrate Valentine's Day in the month of February, and as well as Black History. But tonight I just felt like that the Lord was saying, let's talk about love, because the Bible says that God is love. Yes. And if we want to know about love, we've got to know about God. If we want to know love, we've got to know God, because there's a difference in love and lust. And it seems like the world is confused today about what love really is. But tonight we want to look at the scripture, and I hope that you have your Bible to look at 1 John 4, verses 7 through 12. And and we want to look at 1 John 4:7-12, and we're gonna read that, and we're gonna be talking about it down through the message. But I just want to read it to give a heads up of what we're talking about tonight: God's love and ours. Verse 7 of 1 John 4 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. If that is not talking about love tonight, you know, there's nothing like the love of God. It's really the most overwhelming thing that I've ever encountered, and I'm sure you, if you've encountered the Lord. It's the greatest thing God ever did for us. The reason I can say this is because his love has moved in my life, and nothing has been the same. And so to this evening, we're going to talk about John. And in this writing of John, his epistle has four purposes that he has. It has a fourfold purpose. And the first one in John, 1 John 1 and 4, it says that our joy might be full. You know, when you feel loved, you feel happy. There is joy, and it says that our joy might be full. Don't you know it's something to live a life when your life is full of joy? When you see people that are always have a good expression, it doesn't mean that everything is going well all the time, but there's something deep down inside of them that just has them filled with joy because they can see beyond what they're going through in that particular day. So that's the first purpose. The second purpose is 1 John 2 and 1. Says that we might not sin. This is why he wrote this, because when we have the love of God, there's something about us wanting to please him. And he said that I write this so that you will know and that you might not sin. We don't have to just live in sin all the time. We make mistakes, but our heart's desire can be to please him, and it is to please him when we know his love. And the third purpose is that we might know that we have eternal life. I tell you to be at peace with yourself, to be at peace with God, and to know that you might have life and have it more abundantly, and that when this life is over, that we have a hope beyond this world of toil and care, beyond this veil of gloom. There is a land, a happy land, a land we call our home. I mean, to know that you have eternal life. People who don't know the love of Jesus, they feel like that when you're done here, that's it. They don't have the hope and the joy that we have of knowing that there is eternal life. There is life after this life. And there's a peace about that when we know how much that God loves us. And then the last one is that we ourselves might love others. It's not just enough to know that we are loved. But when we are loved, you can't give what you don't have. And we have to remember that when some people act so up and act so ugly and you say they just are not showing love, you can't give what you don't have. If you don't have God and you don't have his love, you can't show love to anybody else. And so that's the fourth purpose of John writing. He said that our joy might be full, and that we might not sin, that we might know that we have eternal life, and that we ourselves might love others. It is something. It's such a joy when you can show love to people. It's just there's something. People who are loving people are happy people. People who are loving people are giving people. And I think about the scripture, John 3:16, that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He gave. And that seems to be so contrary to the world system of loving, because people now want to know, what can I get out of it? What can you do for me? But it seems like I is always in the equation. But when Jesus Christ came to give his life, he gave his life. He even said, takes my life, I lay it down. He said, I give my life for you. And he is our perfect example of showing love. So when we talk about love, we need to think about how much can we give? What can we give away? Not just what we can get. So 1 John is the great book of love. And love is, in John, is something. Love is mentioned 46 times in 135 verses. So I would think that this book would qualify to tell us about love, don't you?
Yeah.
It was written, and this is why it was written, because it was written to combat the heresy of the known Gnosticism, and to define what Gnosticism is. The Gnostics believe that knowledge was power, and that sounds like the world today, doesn't it? It seems like that everybody thinks that if you've got plenty of knowledge, that you know that you have power. But you know, there's no greater force in this world today than love. You
That's
can
right.
know a lot of things, but the Gnostics felt like that power came from knowledge. They felt that they had a special knowledge of God and His ways, and because they knew all of this stuff, that they had power. John is writing to put them in their place, and as he tells the rest of us about the great God with a great love for great sinners, it's that great love, That great God that I want to talk about today. And I'm asking the Lord to just speak to your heart as we consider a few thoughts about love today.
Yes.
The first thing I'd like to address is the love is described in this text. This great love that the Lord has is described. It is unspeakable. Have you heard that song that says joy unspeakable and full of glory? I can't understand the love of God. You can't understand the love of God. Why would someone come and give his life, leave heaven with all the benefits of heaven, and come down to a sinful world like this to die among people who would reject him and beat him and treat him the way that he was treated? Why would he want to come down to a world like this? I don't understand it. I don't know of any of us in the human flesh that would be willing to give what he gave to a people who were unthankful and ungrateful.
That's right.
But you know what? It's unspeakable. And in Romans 8, 38 and 39, it says that I'll let nothing separate me from the love of God, neither height nor depth nor all these things, creatures or anything, will to separate us from his love, because he has paid a big price for us. Anything that you paid a lot for, more than likely you're going to be careful with it. You know,
right.
Things that are expensive, if you just pay a nickel or dime for something, it doesn't mean much to you. And if something happens to it, you don't think too much about it. But when you pay a great price, when something is very expensive, I mean, if you got that brand new Mercedes Mercedes or Volvo or whatever a car that you have, a Bentley. I mean, if you paid a lot of money, you don't want to just park it anywhere where people can just put nicks on your door and the windshields get cracked. You pay attention. And Jesus paid a great price for our redemption. So his love is unspeakable, and his love is unending. He said in Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. God's love is eternal. You know, people will say they love you, and they might even treat you good for a while. But if something happens that they don't like, you might find them walking out, and their love won't be unending. You can say, well, we used to be in love, but no more. But not with Jesus, not with our God. He said his love is unending. Jeremiah said, God said, I have loved you with an everlasting love, an eternal love. God's love never fails. God's love is eternal. God's love is forever. So we don't have to worry about him throwing us away. And God's love is unselfish. Oh, when we talk about love, do you know one of the biggest reasons for divorce today is selfishness. Selfishness.
My.
God's love is unselfish. He asks us for nothing. I mean, His love leads men to repent and to turn to God's love. We love Him because He first loved us. He loved us first. We love Him because how I love Jesus because He first loved me. He loved us first, and
yes.
So His love is unselfish. Most people today don't really even know what true love really is. True love is unselfish. It's not always what I can get for myself, but it's for what I can give. That's not the world's idea. Of course, God's love is unmerited. We can't do anything to deserve God's love. We don't deserve it. His love is based on His grace and His mercy. Do we really understand that it's His grace and His mercy? And it's so amazing. The thought just came to me is that when we think about how undeserving we are of God's love, then many times that there are people who are undeserving of our love, but we love them anyway. It's not because they're so good to us. Or because they've been, but when we think of how God loves us and we don't deserve, when people are not kind to us, when people are not good, we can say, you know what, I don't deserve God's love, and I want to be like God, and so I'm going to love even though that my love is not deserved. So His love is unmerited.
Yeah.
And the next point is His love is unconditional. It's not based on what we can or cannot produce. I'm so glad that He doesn't that He only loves. It's not that He loves me just because I just do everything right, or that I'm so perfect. He loves me. He said, "I understand that you are but dust," and His love. He loves us so much that when we fall, He'll pick us up and dust us off and help us to start back on our journey. That's how much God loves us. I'm so glad that He didn't throw me away, that He doesn't throw me away whenever I stray or whenever I make a mistake. He is loving. His love is unconditional. It comes from the heart of God. You know, His love, it comes from the heart of God. Man can never reach a place where he will not be loved by God. God is always going to love us. Now we can get to a position where we love our children and we have to spank them sometimes, but we don't stop loving them. His love is unconditional. He always
Amen.
He loves. We are His creation, and He didn't do all that He's done for us to fail. God didn't send His Son to die and to suffer the way He did for us to fail. His love is unfailing. He is going to do everything that He can to help us to make it. And then His love is supernatural. You just can't explain it. God's love is supernatural. It's not natural to love when you know that you're not loved back. It's not natural to be good to people that are not good to you. His love is supernatural. And we say we want to be like Jesus. We've got to have supernatural love. We've got to look at others the same way that Jesus looks at us. His love is supernatural, and His love is sacrificing. You know, when it says God so loved the world that He gave, He made the sacrifice for us. We got to understand that love is more than just a butterfly flittering in our stomach. Love is a conscious choice. Love is volitional. It's a choice that we make to love someone. Or to love. We choose to love. So His love is supernatural and it's sacrificing. You know, if you want to know how much somebody loves you, how much are they willing to sacrifice for you? That's what love is. Love is sacrificing. You know, that mother that loves, that mother will do without getting that new dress or do without sometimes even food. Someone was talking about, I think it was on a movie I was watching, how the mother said that many times she didn't have any, she would go to bed hungry to make sure that the two children had food to eat. That's love.
Mm-hmm.
That's sacrificial love. And that's what when we talk about the love of Jesus, the love of God, that is sacrificial. His love is sacrificial. but his love is satisfying. His love will satisfy our every longing if we would just trust in him. His love is supernatural, it's sacrificing, and it's satisfying.
Yes.
And, you know, these are not attributes that people want to think about today. You know, people are looking today for a feeling that makes them feel good. But love is much, much more than that. Love is much, much more. Now, this love that God had was demonstrated at Calvary. God's love can never be fully understood, but it can be seen. And it's best seen at the cross. My God, his love, the sacrifice that he made at the cross. It says he stood in the gap, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He took our place. We're talking about sacrifice. We're talking about sacrifice. He loved us so much that he sacrificed his life. He stood in the gap for us. He didn't want us to be lost. Adam and Eve plunged the race into sin, and we lost our relationship with God. And Jesus said, I want to restore that relationship, and I'm willing to make the sacrifice. So he stood in the gap for us. That love, that's what he demonstrated at Calvary. He saved us from hell. A lot of people don't want to talk about hell anymore, but heaven is real, and hell is real.
Amen.
And if it had not been for Jesus dying on the cross, his death on the cross, his death that released his precious blood, that opened the door of salvation for every sinner who would come to God. Isn't that something? If it had not been for the Jesus shedding his precious blood on Calvary, we would not have the right to eternal life. I think about the late Andre Crouch said, the blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, it will never, never, never lose its power.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day will never lose its power. His power that saves us from death and hell. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his great love, of his grace. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sins. My God, Hebrews 9:12 through 14, and Revelations 1:5, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood. My. People don't want to talk about that. But if it had not been for the cross, if it had not been for Calvary, we would not be able to experience this great salvation that we have, this hope of eternal life, this hope for today. He said that we would have life. Jesus came that we would have a life abundantly here and hope for the future. I thank God for the blood, don't you?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
My God. And we have to say this, that this love is displayed in the Christian. Now, that is, it will be visible if it is possessed in the Christian. If you possess God, his love will be visible in our lives. Notice throughout the Bible there have been men who demonstrated God's love. See, people want to see. They want to see a sermon. They want to see God's love. There's been so much talk about love. But there's not been a lot of demonstration of the love. We just look at Joseph. He had forgiving love. I was just reading that in devotion last week about how his brothers treated him. He was lied on, sold into slavery, ripped from his home and his father, falsely accused, put in prison, and he was just waiting and waiting and waiting because of his jealous brothers. Isn't it something how bad Joseph was treated? And he hadn't done anything. It wasn't Joseph's fault because his father favored him. It wasn't Joseph's fault because he received those dreams that God gave him. He was a good boy. And yet, look at all that he had to go through. Yet he still forgave. You know, I was at the end of that story, his brothers, they did have to end up bowing to him just like the dreams had said. And especially after their father, Jacob, had died, they said, oh, God, he's going to get us now because he's going to get revenge on us. The father is gone, and we did him so bad. But he said, I'm not God. He said, because what you meant for evil, God meant it for good.
That's right.
That's forgiveness, you all. He took the high road. His attitude, how often do we take the low road and always talk about what people should have done we could have been hateful to somebody that was hateful to us. We could say, well, they deserve what they get. But no, Joseph didn't do that. In fact, it was so amazing that Joseph said, come on over here to Egypt where I am, and I'll take care of you. I'll feed you. I'll take care of you and your families. It wasn't just his brothers, but it was his brothers and their families. And he said, come on. He had forgiving love, didn't he? Do we have forgiving love today? Do we display the love of God in our lives by having forgiving love? Well, then we go to Hosea, and this was a story in the Bible I never did figure out. He had redeeming love. His wife was Gomer. She was a prostitute. She left him. I mean, she embarrassed him. She did everything in the book to disown him as her husband. She went after many lovers, and yet he was willing to buy her back. You know, this is an example of Jesus Christ buying us back to his blood. But do we have that kind of redeeming love that we're willing to go another step beyond what is required of us? I don't think necessarily that it was required of Hosea to do all of that. But he had that. But God allowed him that opportunity for him to be an example to us as readers of the Word to know about God's redeeming love.
Yes,
God's love is awesome. His love is awesome. And then there's an example of compassionate love. Peter denied Christ. He lied on him. He said, I don't know him. When they said, you sound like one of those followers of Jesus. He said, I don't even know him. And he even cursed. Yet Jesus said to him later on, who do you say that I am? And upon this rock I'll build my church. Jesus was compassionate toward Peter. Are we compassionate?
Yes.
Do we have compassionate love? Do we have compassion on people who really are in desperation? So oftentimes we see people that are in need, and we say, well, that's their problem. That's not ours. That's not my problem. That's their problem. But I'm so glad Jesus didn't feel that way about me. And then he has healing love. We go through life with so many bumps and knocks and so much hurt, so much pain, and yet the love of God is so healing. We have anger and bitterness and jealousy and all kinds of things that have come in our lives, but Jesus reached down and picked us up out of the sewer. He picks us up. He has compassion, and he has a healing love for us. And he cleans us off, and he puts oil in our wounds, and he shows his love to us and heals us. How many people have known of some very hurtful things that have happened, but the love of God came along and healed their heart, healed their mind. He's healed my mind. He's healed my heart. He's healed my body. You know, he's healed situations. He has shown his love in his healing power.
Yes.
When the love of God is present in the life of a believer, it will be visible in five different areas. One is the love for the Savior. You know, there's some people who just don't care a thing about church. They don't care nothing about God. But if you say that you love God, John 14:15 says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
That's right.
If we have a love for the Savior, we want to keep his commandments. We want to make him happy. That's what love is. We want to make God happy. If we go beyond, I don't know about some of the listeners, but I came up in a holiness church, and we is it a sin to do this? And is it a sin? Is that a sin? And we always want to know how far we can go. Is this a sin? Is that a sin? But you know what? Love goes beyond just that. When we really love God, we want to please him. Does this make him happy? We're not so considerate about is this a sin. We just want to know, are we pleasing God? We want to make God happy. We have a love for the Savior. Because you know in Revelation 2:4 it says you've left your first love. Some people used to love God, but they don't love him anymore.
Oh, yes.
And he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Mm-hmm. And you see, we're not held accountable for what we don't know. But when you know to do good, the Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's a sin.
Amen.
So it says that God's love can be evident and visible when we love the Savior. And I tell you, people know they can, if they don't have to be around you very long to figure out that you love God. And you don't have to have a sign on your back saying, I'm a Christian. But if they be around you very long, they're going to see by the way you act, the way you talk, they're going to feel that you love the Savior.
Amen.
Then the second way that we is to be visible, if we love the Scriptures. You know, it amazes me yet for people to say to go to the altar or say that they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they ask him to forgive them of their sins and ask him to come into their lives, and they never pick up their Bible. They don't have a love for the Scriptures. It's so amazing to me that you can say you love the Lord and not have love for his word. Because the psalmist said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." It's the word of God that we'll be judged by, and I love the word of God because the word teaches me, it instructs me, it disciplines me, it keeps me in the straight and narrow way.
Yes.
Do we love the Scriptures? People who never pick up their Bible. People who don't know, there's some people who can't quote three scriptures. You know, how can we say we love God and we don't love his word? Because the word of God says that it's the Bible that we're going to be judged by. His word is what we're going to be judged by in the last day. And
Amen.
How are we going to be judged and by something we don't even know anything about? So when it says, it will be visible, the presence of God's love in the believer's life will show the love for the Savior and love for the Scriptures. And then, this is one that in this day and time, it says love for the sanctuary. My God, Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You've got more and more people who say they're so burnt out with church, the traditional church. They got so much to say, so much criticism about the traditional church. They criticize the preacher. He don't preach right. They criticize the choir because the choir don't sing the right songs. They criticize the Sunday school teachers because they not prepared. And they criticize some churches are too noisy. Some churches are too dead, and some are this, and some you got to dress up, and some you know. They've got so much criticism about what goes on in the sanctuary, and yet the Lord told the Scripture tell us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together.
Amen.
And I tell you, it's not so bad. It's not just bad enough that we don't go to church. But then don't go anywhere, because church can be where the people of God meet. But we need to assemble together. We need to assemble together and praise and worship God. and exhort one another and encourage one another, because Jesus is coming soon.
That's right.
And we need to encourage one another. I know some of you have been involved in multi-level businesses, and they have a meeting every week, and they have people who tell their success stories, and they give you tips on how to increase your business and to make sales. All of that is to help you to get your business going. But when we come to the sanctuary and we're able to encourage one another and worship together, it's encouraging. Excuse me. So it says not to forsake to assemble yourselves together, as some are doing there. And people today, there's more people laying up on Sunday morning. We got all the energy in the world to go to work all week long. Some people work 6 days a week. But when Sunday comes, they're not interested in going to church. This is their rest day. But I declare God has been so good to me, I can't get to church fast enough.
All right.
And if I can't get to my church, I got to go to church quite a few. It takes me about 30 minutes, 40 minutes to get to the church that we go. And we couldn't go that Sunday. There was a little church, and not even my denomination, down the street. And I got dressed, and I was almost close enough to walk. I said, as long as they worship in the name of Jesus, I'm going to worship. Because I wanted to be in the sanctuary. Psalms 22:1-1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you glad to be among the people of God? I'm happy to be around. Well, the church is not a bunch of perfect people. The church is a people that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. The church is a hospital. If you're sick, that's where you're supposed to go.
Amen.
And said, I was glad, the psalmist said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. And then there's love for the saints. Listen, when you have, when you are able to demonstrate the visibly the love of God, you love the people of God. Anywhere I've gone all over the country, when I come into the house of God, I don't feel like a stranger. I love the people of God. And it says, when the saints walk in love, then God will be seen. When the world sees that we love one another, then Jesus can be seen. His love can be seen. And then the last point is the love for sinners. Jesus had a heart for sinners. God's love is more than just being loved. It is opening our lives so that the Lord can love through us. My. Can Jesus love through us? He's gone on back to heaven. He's coming back, but he's left us, and he wants to love the world through us. Do we have enough of God's love that we can take that love and love the sinners and love them so much, and we love God so much and we love people that we don't want them to be lost, and we want to share God's love with them? God wants to use us so that he can reach a world for himself. Isn't that amazing? God wants to be visible in our lives. He wants to be visible in our lives. And that's what love is. Love is an action word. Love is not just love is not a noun. It's an action word.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to get busy learning by Jesus' example what love really is. Being forgiving, being redeeming, being compassionate, being healing, loving the Savior, love the Scriptures, love the sanctuary, and love the saints, love the sinners. So tonight, we ought to praise the Lord for his overwhelming love for us. Oh, his love for us is beyond measure. The song says his love has no limit, his grace has no measure. We can shout, we can run, we can turn flips, we can do all kind of things, and I love to praise the Lord, but the best way to thank God is by letting his love shine out through our lives and to reach out to others. So I invite you to join with me as I ask the Lord to help me to love like Jesus. I want to love like Jesus. I want to be willing to sacrifice. He said, I don't know. Andre Crouch wrote another song, said, I don't know why Jesus loves me. I don't know why he cares. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad he did. And I'm so glad that he sacrificed his life for me. And I want to show my appreciation to him. And I hope that you will join me tonight and make it up in your mind that you're going to have the love to pattern your love after the love of Jesus Christ. Be willing to sacrifice. Be willing to give. Be willing to love the unlovely. Be willing to let his supernatural love shine through us. Because even the scripture says, what is it if we love those who love us? But he said for us to love those who don't love us and do good to them that despitefully use us.
Amen.
So let us understand what true love is. Because truly the world today needs to know what the real meaning of love is. God is love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I thank God tonight for his love.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And
amen.
That is the conclusion.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Mm. My. Love.
Yes, Lord.
We can't love him without it.
No. Nope.
We won't be able to make it without it. Amen.
That's right.
Love of the Savior, the love for the scriptures, the love for the sanctuary, the love for the saints, and the love for the sinners.
Mm. Yes.
We thank the Lord tonight for a powerful message to help us to understand that we have to have his love, within us. That not what we think love is, amen, but his love.
Yes.
Wow. So that gives us something to strive for tonight.
Yes.
Maybe someone's listening tonight, and you know in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, that you need more of God's love. You've heard the preacher preach tonight. Amen. It's time that we show love. It's time that we prove that we bear it. You know, our Lord and Savior said, I believe it's Matthew chapter 15, I think it was verse 8, say that they speak with their mouths, but their heart is far from me.
Yes.
Love will allow us to be obedient and faithful to God because we love him.
Amen.
And if we love him, we'll be able to love each other. So I'm challenging you tonight, if there's one listening who needs prayer, who wants to ask the Lord to give you more of his love, and maybe you're struggling with, you're wondering right now, how do I obtain this kind of love? Where do I receive it? Well, my friend, you can't get it from Walmart. It's not there. It only comes from him. But in order for you to get it, you have to know him.
Yes.
As your personal Savior. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you can't share or show his love. And maybe someone's wondering tonight, and if you are, this is what you must do. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. for the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. It's all about love. It's all about love. It's amazing. As the new year has been moving forward, a lot of the messages that I've been hearing lately have been on love. So that lets us know that it's something that we're lacking. Something that we're lacking in the church today is love. And how can we say that we know Christ, who is love, when
That's
we
right.
can't love each other? There's no
That's
way.
Right.
There's no way. Is there one tonight who wants to pray, who wants to ask God to give you more love, to strengthen your love, to deepen your love for him and for your brother or your sister? Is there one? Just press one on your receiver and we'll pray tonight. Is there one tonight? Is there one to continue to pray and ask God to have his way in your life? We're not going to hold you. You know what you need tonight. Just press one on your receiver and we'll pray so that the Lord can help you to show and share his love. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there one? We all know what we need. You don't want to get off the phone without it. If you need more of the love of Christ, ask the Lord tonight, Lord, help me to have more of your love. He showed you the greatest example of love by hanging on the cross on Calvary. No greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. He gave his life for you. He showed you the perfect example of love. So we need to ask ourselves, what are we showing him in return?
Yes.
Am I showing God that I really love him? That I really am concerned with being all that he wants me to be? Is there one? I'm going to ask Reverend Johnson to close us out tonight in prayer, that those who are listening would realize that it's time to show your love. Not speaking, but showing. Amen.
Amen. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we want to thank you tonight. We want to praise you, O Heavenly Father, for your great love. Oh, we thank you that you didn't count us as the way that we needed to be, Lord, our unrighteousness, but you gave your life for us that we might have eternal life. We thank you and we praise you. We thank you for the word tonight that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you, O God, for this broadcast, O God. We thank you for every listener. And we pray tonight, O God, that you would help us to understand your love even more and help us to understand how that you want to show your love through us to those that we come in contact.
Yes.
Lord, just give us Give us a greater insight, oh God, on how to show our love. Oh God, many yes. don't know how to show love. We say it with our mouth, but don't know how to show love. Help us to yes. stay close to you, that you can teach us how to show your love to one another and to those in the world. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, because you are God who cannot lie. And you said, Lord, that you would provide for us everything that we need. And Lord, the world is dying for the lack of love. The world is hurting because of the lack of the love. Our situations, our homes, our jobs, our churches even are suffering because of the lack of love. We pray that you would help us, dear Father, that your love would grow in us, that it might show as we live from day to day. We thank you, O God, and we praise you, that we are not praying in vain, because we are asking this in faith. We're believing that you're going to help us to be better. You're going to help us to love like Jesus loved. You're going to help us to be all that you have called us to be. Lord, go with us through the remainder of this week. Help us, dear God, to make a conscious decision to yes. show love to somebody. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we thank each and every one of you for being with us as we celebrate 5 years of being on the Blog Talk Radio on the Mighty Men of Valor Show. As we go throughout the rest of this week, we'll see how the Lord will lead and guide us, so that we can have speakers to just share with us this month. We thank the Lord for Reverend Johnson for taking the time out to be with us tonight. We love you, and we thank you for sharing that powerful word on love. Amen. Something that all of us need. We can't make without it. So we love you, and we thank you for being with us. We're looking forward to each and every one of you being with us next week, same time, same place, as we continue to celebrate the Lord for 5 years. Amen. On the Blog Talk Radio.
Amen.
Well, we love each and every one of you with us tonight. God bless you.
Amen.